Believe it or not, what's going to happen next is actually part of today's teaching text. It will not appear immediately obvious, but this is part of the teaching text, so we want to make sure we pay attention. I've asked my wife, Elizabeth, if she would help lead us in something. It's really a handful of us. You get to be observers. You can be grateful for that. We're not calling for volunteers or planting things under your seat and forcing you to get up on the stage. But we're going to do a little bit of something here, and this is a bit of the prelude for our teaching text this morning. Liz, take it away.
Hello. Yay, cool, it's on. So I would like to introduce you to today's officially unofficial Mars Hill improv team. Most of them didn't know they were on this team until this morning, so I think they deserve a really big round of applause from all of you. All right, so we're going to play a quick, simple little game here. And what this is called is building a machine. But as you'll notice, what we have on stage are people. So we're going to use people to build our machine. So the way this is going to work is one at a time. I'm going to pick on Tim Nelson and make him go first. One at a time, everyone's going to come join this middle of the stage here, and they're going to make a sound and a motion, something over and over again. I've told most of you, but I recommend not picking squats, because you're going to have to do it for a little while, and that will hurt. So you're going to make a sound and a motion over and over again, and then one at a time in any order, our other friends up here are just going to join with their sound and their motion until everyone's in, and we will have our very own machine made up of human beings. All right? Does that sound good? Awesome. Tim, if you want to start us off with your sound and your motion, nice and loud. It's a big room. Going to choose squats. So if we have a first, someone else who wants to volunteer to go first, jump on in and we'll start over.
Will you get back in your positions right over here? I'm not going to. But if you would, just relatively where you were at. Great. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now the body is made up of many parts. Not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The word of the Lord. Thanks, human machine. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, friends, if you said you would rather have no eyes, let me see you blinking as fast as you can at me. Let me see those eyes. Great. If you said no mouth, let me hear you buzz like a bee. You're crazy. Show of hands, who said no hands? Thank you. November 2008, I was playing in an indoor soccer game with a couple of people. I think, Kyle, were you on that team? You were on that team together, weren't we? Indoor soccer team. And I went up for a 50-50 ball to head the ball. And as I'm on my way down, somebody wanted to be in the same place where I was landing and took my legs out from under me. And I happened to fall with 100% of my weight on my wrist, bent like this. And I felt this pop, kind of like my entire body was this cabinet. And it, like, the pop was inside of my whole body. And I probably heard it as well, but I felt it like this earthquake kind of thing in my body. And this is a quick aside. We didn't have any substitutes that night. So everyone made me wait on the sidelines. Thank you, Kyle. Holding my wrist as hard as I could with some ice for the match to be over. And then finally got driven to the emergency room. And it turns out that I had like 11 breaks in whatever the biggest of the bones are, radius or ulna, I don't know which one. There were like 11 breaks in that bone. And a couple days later, I had surgery. I have like 7 or 8 screws. I have some photographs for you. Not of the surgery. Come on, people. And a couple of plates, and they had to try to bind my bones back together because there were all these breaks right at the top. In fact, there's supposedly still a little piece of the bulb of the wrist that broke off, and they said, we're just going to let it float around in there under the skin somewhere. Had this massive break. And then for the next 5 months, I was in a sling. Now, a lot of what I do with my life involves making music. And this is a very inhospitable posture as a guitar player. This doesn't work super well. And then when I got out of the sling and I had to do a bunch of physical therapy, it was like I had the grip of an infant. Just the muscles had not worked anymore, and I could barely squeeze any of these things. And I remember feeling this kind of emotion. I know this is my body, but without this, it doesn't feel like it's me. Like, I had this sense of, there's so much of what I'm used to doing with this particular body that isn't possible when this part of my body is missing. I remember trying to sign papers before the surgery with my left hand. I said, this could be anyone's signature. I remember trying to type emails. Brushing my teeth felt so strange with a left hand. So I had this weird sense of, I'm not myself without this. And then when the 5 months was over and I was back to kind of being normal again, I didn't have this temptation. I don't need this after all. You know, like, I was great without this right hand. In fact, Left-handedness is better. So I heard a whoop over there. I didn't have the temptation of, I figured out how to make it without one part of my person. I was desperate to be put back together again. Does this make any sense? Are you tracking? Where would my body be, I was asking myself, without the use of this arm? I wouldn't be totally myself. Today, just a very simple little reflection for you out of 1 Corinthians 12. We need each other to be ourself. We need each other to be us. That's the way it's designed. I know at times the church, the capital C church, and maybe probably even this particular church, can look very strange, sort of like this human machine that we built up here. Like, why are those sounds and those motions being done? And how does that fit with this other thing? And why that with this? And why? I know that oftentimes it can look like a very strange set of people. But for some reason, this mismatchedness is the way that God wants it to be. I think that's why Paul stresses here in chapter 12 that God has arranged the parts of the body. If I were to arrange the parts of the body, it'd probably be lots of right arms. You know? There'd be lots of my particular preference. I would have the body really, really out of balance. But God, in his infinite wisdom, Paul tells us, has arranged every part of the body exactly as he wants them to be. And so even when we look and we think this is a very strange enterprise, this is a very strange human machine, we have this sense that in Christ we live and move and have our being. And somehow this thing works. It's a strange enterprise. We need each other to be ourselves. I want to encourage you towards two commitments in our upcoming ministry year. I'd love for you to consider making two commitments as part of the body of Christ, ways of faithfully functioning as part of this mystical body. The first is this: would you commit to consistent community? Consistent community. You'll hear us talk a lot more about this in the upcoming weeks, and as we jump into this series in the fall out of the book of Ephesians, taking a look at what it's like to be the church. But you'll hear us say more about this, that being part of smaller groups of people gives you a unique opportunity to function as part of the body of Christ. I think people often discover what their function is as part of the body in these more intimate settings. That in this big, giant, large thing, we can sometimes have the impression that it's got to be the people who are on the stage, whose gifts are the most writ large, that they are really the body of Christ and the rest of us are. It's in these smaller, more intimate realities, in these smaller communities, we can begin to live into our function and begin to discover that. The end of chapter 12 there, that's where Paul starts saying, and so then we mourn with those who mourn, and we share one another's burdens, and we do those kinds of things really intentionally and in a pretty compact way when we're in these smaller communities. It looks like this year we're going to be able to start 10 or 12 new house churches scattered all over West Michigan. It's a great thing. People this summer have decided to join Tim Nelson over here in this little corner to just express some interest about connecting with one another by region. And it looks like we'll be able to maybe start a dozen new house churches. If you have been wondering, when is the right time for me to take a step towards community, towards more intentional connection with other people, the time is now. Make this season the season where you submit yourself as part of this body of Christ into these more intimate, smaller settings. Would you commit to consistent community? Second encouragement, would you commit to regular worship? I don't say this as some sort of guilt trip, and I don't say this as a threat like we're going to start taking attendance, but I believe this with my entire heart, that the gathered worshiping body is not whole unless we are all together. When you're missing, it's as though a part of the body is gone. And I don't know why that is exactly. Somehow God has put everything together in a particular kind of way, but we're not whole unless we're all together. And so on those days when you find yourself thinking, no one's going to notice if I come or not because it's a big church, I really believe that our worshiping body is not whole without you. Something is really different when we're not together. Would you commit in this upcoming season, whenever the Mars Hill family is gathered for worship, that you're going to be there and that you're going to bring your particular part and function of the body of Christ to bear? And however that might look like, whatever that might mean, in maybe hidden kind of ways, maybe more overt ways, but would you commit to regular worship here as part of this church? Consistent community in regular worship. We need one another to be ourselves. We're going to take communion this morning. They're not going to be servers up front. We've got all the elements at the tables here in the back. And so we want to invite you today to serve one another and to have this be a way of us living into our function as the body of Christ, that we will literally take the opportunity to serve one another, to offer one another these elements. But have you ever noticed, sometimes it happens here on this stage and other more structured liturgies, that you'll hear it more often. Have you heard someone say these words? So receive who you are, the body of Christ. Have you heard this? Receive who you are, the body of Christ. This is one of my favorite moments in a liturgy. It's this poetic moment where we find these two metaphors colliding up against one another. We have the metaphor, the symbol of the body of Christ in these elements. And we have the symbol of the body of Christ in these people. And we find that the people are nourished by this body. This body is fed by this body. It's a wonderful moment to be reminded that God has put the body together exactly as He desires. And that in Him we live and move and have our being, and we are fed and nourished by this wonderful meal. And so as you go to these tables today to serve one another, may you be reminded, one, of your particular membership, your particular belonging in the body of Christ. And may you celebrate that. For those of us who often feel like, I have nothing to contribute, I'm a hanger-on, may you be reminded that God has put the body together exactly as He desires. And second, may you bring this humble heart that recognizes that the entire body needs fed. And that one of the reasons why we commit to regular worship is to be fed and nourished by this body so that we can more faithfully be this body. Makes sense? And so a way of functioning as this body together, why don't we speak these words of this liturgy that we do every single week, which is not just perfunctory, by the way. This is not just like prelude. This is a way for us to live into our collective common bond by joining our hearts and voices speaking these words. So friends, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts and let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Because we're reminded that on the night that He was betrayed, Jesus, with a couple of His followers, functioning as a small, intimate community that they ate together. And Jesus told them that his body was going to be broken and his blood was going to be shed, and that out of this death, new life would come. And so every time we take these elements and we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim this great story. And we remind ourselves that we have by grace been grafted into this mystical body of Christ. What a gift. And joining this body, who for centuries has tried to summarize this great story in as compact and as succinct a way as they could, that we've been saying these words, that Christ has died, and Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. So you're invited to serve one another at these tables. We're going to sing a few more songs as we leave today. Here's going to be my request. For this first song, we're just going to let the people on the stage make the instrumental noise. And then I'll invite everybody to make noise again in a couple of minutes. But why don't you take a few minutes with each other, receive these elements, receive who you are, friends, the body of Christ.